Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Hello and welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. And guys, this is episode 100. If you would have asked me at episode 1 of Sex Party with Dustin Rybka, did I think that we would make it to episode 100 of Sex Party with Dustin Rybka? And the answer is duh. I mean, of course, we were always going to make it to episode 100. We are going to make it to episode 1000. We're going to make it to episode 5000. It's going to happen, right? But I didn't think that it would happen so fast. At least it feels like it's happened so fast. So much has changed since I started the show. I am so incredibly happy and excited and grateful that you guys listen to this, you watch this, you interact with me. So I have put together an episode 100 to rival any episode 100, whatever the fuck that means, right? I have three guests from some of my biggest episodes: Susan Bratton, Sarah Gervais, and my very own girlfriend, Gianna Rackham. We are going to start with Susan Bratton. We're talking about how to have a threesome tangibly, right? Because come on, you want to know how do you initiate a threesome, right? And what better person to tell you than Susan Bratton? So, without further ado, please enjoy this episode 100 conversation with my friend Susan Bratton.
Sex Party, celebrating 100 episodes.
Susan Bratton, welcome to Sex Party episode 100. You are one of the guests on this episode, and I mean, happy 100th episode. I don't know why I'm telling you, but happy 100th.
No, happy 100th episode right back to you, Dustin. I mean, that's a lot of episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm dying to know what some of the most interesting things are that you've learned in doing 100 episodes with all us crazy, funny, sexy, amazing people.
Yeah, what an amazing question for me right off the bat. I've learned so much that it's going to take, you know, an additional 100 episodes to process it all. No, but I think this show has completely changed my life, and it's the best decision that I've ever made, I think, creatively. And wow. And I'm so like just shocked that we're at episode 100. Like, I knew it would happen, right? And like, this does not even include any of the specials, right? Like, this is just the single episodes. We're in 100. There's a plethora of things, but like, I have to say, if we're going to really be tangible, right? Cause that was like nostalgia and emotion I'm giving right now, but tangibly, I honestly, the number one thing I think that I was shocked to learn is probably how prevalent open relationships, open marriages really truly are, because you hear people talking about them, or like, hey, I want my wife to fuck the neighbor or whatever, right? But you never really, until I got into this, I didn't realize how normal, I guess you would say, but that people just keep it secret or whatever. That would be my number one, probably.
That's so interesting, considering that I've been in a marriage for 30 years and it's been open longer than closed. But that I often don't talk about it. And one of the outlets that I enjoy being able to speak about it is here with you, because most people, they feel like if you're open, then there's something wrong with them if they're not open. Mm-hmm. And that's not how I am at all. My fans are primarily in long-term monogamous relationships. I'm helping people have hot sex in their marriages for as long as forever. Basically, that's my goal. Mm-hmm. So, that's interesting that how prevalent it is. Yes, it is. And it's growing. I mean, now with these communities, we were talking about like Bloom and We Deepen and some of these other dating apps like Field, et cetera, that are specifically set for people in the non-monogamous world that runs the span from swingers and lifestyles and all the pineapple people all the way up to the open, the poly, the non-monogamous, the kitchen table poly people, et cetera.
Yeah. And you know, I would say a close second, right, is this mystifying concept of a sex party, right? Where you go and Yes. Everyone's having sex, whatever. they're really not that hard to find at all. And no. Like, all you got to do is Google around. And a lot of them, again, and I've said this before, like are vetted. People have to be tested. They're background yeah. checked. The good ones, right? Any city, any town you live in, there's something within 100 miles, I guarantee you. You just have to get on Google and look. And I think that wasn't shocking to me, but it was like, okay. You know, I found out like some place next to my gym is like fucking doing shit on the weekends and shit. That was pretty crazy. So I think that's something too that people don't, they think it's this, that this like, you know, this temple that exists in the clouds that they really can't go to or whatever. And I love that it's not. I love that for a lot of people, it is like a part of normal life.
We love to make love in community. it's so beautiful to be at a sex party and to look out across the room and to see all of the chill people loving each other and playing with each other and having a good time and having orgasms and enjoying the being there and the seeing there. Mm-hmm. I just agree with you that there's something incredibly fulfilling, like soulfully, like, okay, yeah, yes, this feels right
yeah.
about sex parties.
Yeah, and I do think, like you said it, like some of the stuff is becoming more normal, right? And it's bizarre because it is. I feel like the internet has given people, you know, different ways to you know, masturbate and research the sex they're into. But it's also, I think, given a lot of people with podcasting and with whatever, just like this outlet to sort of explore. I don't know what I like, but I know that this sounds kind of cool. I'm interested. Like the amount of people, which I never thought this was ever going to happen to me ever. I just thought I was like this lunatic, kind of.
Oh, you still are.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For sure. Kind of rogue, kind of bumbling dude who's like, yeah, let's do a sex show, right? But like the people that have like messaged me and been like, oh, I decided that I'm not dating losers anymore. I listened to episode 62 and you were right that I need to be, and I'm like, wait, what did I say? You know, or whatever. And then other people on the other side of the spectrum is like, I'm exploring bringing another person into the bedroom because of your show. And like, that to me has been like, so I'll never get over that. I'll never get over that. It's so wild.
You're having an impact.
Well,
you are. And that's so good. Thank you for producing 100 episodes. That's not easy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a full-time gig. We love that. We're not complaining. I definitely need to up my self-care game, get in the gym more, drink more water in 2024. Mm-hmm. So there's not a rotting fucking corpse sitting in this chair interviewing people. But you know, I think people, and shortly we're going to be going into season 3 of Sex Party. And I think people are going to be really surprised because we are, and I'm going to say this for the first time officially with you, Susan Braddon, on the 100th episode. Ooh. We are turning the volume and the heat up for the next chapter of Sex Party. A couple things that, like, you know, come to mind every time you're on. There's a plethora of thirsty men in the comments, and women too, that love you.
Good, and
I
love them back.
And they have questions. How do I get a hold of Susan Braddon? And I'm like, hey,
oh, that's easy.
Send her an email. Go to this website, right? So, like, let's answer. How do I get a hold of Susan Braddon? Number one.
It's so easy. If you go to betterlover.com and you get on my email newsletter, you can reply to anything I send you and I will get your questions or whatever you want to talk to me about. And I love to do that. I get letters from my fans every single day. And if I can't get right back to you, I will get back to you. So be patient with me because I got a lot of fan questions, but I love them because they make me good at what I do. So betterlover.com, that's where you go.
You guys heard it here. What is your favorite fan question, would you say? Or type of fan question? because I have some. I'm a fan of Susan Braddon, and I think the one while you're thinking, I'll buy us some time, yeah. Right? Okay. I think that the one that they ask a lot to me in the DMs and in the comments in pertaining to your episodes is, well, number one is, how do I have a threesome? How do I talk my husband or wife into a threesome? And so like that's number one.
Yeah. Well, I always think that the best strategy for talking about things that you're fantasizing about is first to make sure that you can talk about anything sexual with your partner. So if you can't really go from like 0 to 60 miles an hour, you've got to create unconditional trust and comfort around talking about everything sexual. And so starting with just really getting your partner to start talking to you in the bedroom, telling you what feels good, what they like, what sounds good tonight, how are they feeling? Do they want something, you know, more, or did they want something more, you know? Just when you get a person really starting to go, then you can start doing things like saying what you see during lovemaking. You can start words of encouragement and appreciation. You can start doing worship and all of those kinds of loving things. And then you can start telling each other stories, fantasy stories. Like lately, I have been really enjoying riding Sir Tim and telling him super dirty stories. And I know what kind, I know his kinks and fetishes. And so I make them about that. And I make the dirtiest thing. And I like to talk to him like this. And I like to tell him all this stuff like this as I'm riding his cock. Love it. And so I think getting to the point where you're telling your partner dirty stories while you're giving them pleasure, it could be giving her a yoni massage, you know, a manual genital massage, or making out with her and playing with her boobs while she strokes you or something like that. And just sharing in sexy conversation. And then you can bring up the threesome as a dirty story. And when you can say, you know what? I've been having a fantasy. I've been having this super hot fantasy about you, me, and another guy. And I would love to like double team with another guy that I like that really turns you on. And I'd love for us to take turns giving you incredible pleasure and then giving you incredible pleasure simultaneously to the point where you don't know what side is up and what side is down. And all you're doing is just lying there coming in a puddle of bliss. And it ends up being the best night of your life, of your whole life, because you got all this incredible pleasure in your body from two men who adore you. You know, something like that. You can start out pretty, I didn't say that much.
Well,
I used, you know, kind of Milton model language. If you know NLP, sure. It's kind of like high level. She kind of has to fill the story in her mind with the details, but she is, because that's what our minds do. And that gets her wheels turning and thinking about things. And I very purposely chose two men with a woman, because most people, when they think of a threesome, it's two women with a man. And one of the things that I've found is that a lot of times the women are kind of like a little more like the blind leading the blind, and they don't quite know what to do. And it's hard for him to actually put his attention on both of them simultaneously. And a lot of times those threesomes don't go as well when you're a beginner as having two guys working over one woman to their heart's delight. She is still in her receive, but she's just getting double the receiving, and they know how to do her, and they don't have to have sex with each other. And so that dynamic, I often think, is a really great place to start.
Well, do you find that by saying that, like, hey, I want to bring another dude in this fantasy and like really fucking have you up the wall, right? Or whatever, right? When they say that, do you think that that is such a huge like leap, like, wow, he's really throwing the gauntlet down, that then maybe they then become more accepting of like, well, okay, if he brought two dudes in my fantasy, I'm going to bring another woman in, or does that not work that way?
Well, then the next time he can say, okay, I have another dirty fantasy. Do you want to hear it while I give you a yoni massage? Okay. Okay, well, this time it's going to be two women. You're going to be one of the women. And you get to pick her out and we'll bring her home. And she's going to be so sweet and adorable. And we're all going to do, and then you can just go into like your fantasies about what sounds really fun. You know, I'm going to take turns doing both of you and, you know, whatever it is.
Sure.
And then she can think about that. But I just think it gives her like, oh, it's not just about him getting two girls. He's actually thinking about how hot it would be for me to have incredible pleasure. And so it's a little more giving. And so as the first lob into the threesome fantasy possibility scenes, I think it's like a surprising, you know, it's like a sidewinder in there, you know, it's not a full direct, you know, like, well, I want to have a threesome with a couple of girls and be the center of attention. You know, it's more like, baby, I want you to have incredible pleasure.
No. Yeah. I mean, it is a twist. It is a surprise twist, right? And to start with that, I mean, brilliant. Of course, you would bring the brilliance again. And that's why we ask these questions. What happens if he asks, right? And she slaps him and throws his iPad in the garbage.
Well, I think that, like I said, if he's worked his way up to being able to say anything to her in the bedroom, for her being used to him talking to her, for him getting her talking to him and rewarding her and encouraging her for her verbal connection, then I think he's taught her and he's empowering her and he's emboldened her. So I don't think she's going to slap him. He would potentially get the slap and the iPad in the trash if they literally never talked. They never moaned. They had quiet sex. Nobody was saying anything to anybody. And then all of a sudden he wants to bring another guy in and rail her.
Yeah.
That's the leap. And that's how dudes are, because dudes are like, full stream ahead. I've already come to the solution. I already know the answer. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of women who are like meander. We look at everything. We're thinking about a million things. And so it's easier for us if you start small and work your way up on that ascension model that I talked about. I was really talking about a sexual communication ascension model. And that's one of the things that I've been working on. So it's interesting that you asked me that question. This is why we're so good together, baby. And that's because I don't know what I want the words to be for it, but what I want to do is I want to teach people how to explode bedroom communication in the sexiest way possible by working up those skills, the knowing how to ask for what you want comfortably, encouraging, the worship, the saying what you see, the saying how you felt, the sharing favorite frames, the dirty stories, the making offers. It all kind of builds. Yeah. The moaning and getting your partner to moan, and going first, you go first and show them how it's done kind of thing. Because that's the other thing too, is that we women haven't necessarily been socialized for this dirty talk or pillow talk or bedroom talk, but we tend to be very articulate compared to our partner. So when he starts saying, oh, okay, so dirty talk isn't really, you dirty little, it's not that. It's like, you're so beautiful. You smell so good. I love the way your back looks. It's looking so strong. Your ass is so hot. You know, those kinds of things get it started and give her words so that it's very easy for her to catch up. She'll soon be writing you and telling you dirty, dirty stories.
Well, and it's not even, like, dirty talk doesn't even have to be when it's sex time, right? You can, like, every time I see my girlfriend, I can't help but make a fucking comment about her ass or her
so beautiful
fucking eyes. Yeah, she is. It's fucking nuts. And so, like, for me, I'm constantly doing that. So
that's great.
If some people aren't doing that, though, because it comes naturally,
start there.
Okay, so like, so they need to actually say to themselves, okay, I'm gonna compliment the things I like at noon, right? We're not even going to have sex till tomorrow at 2 is when it's scheduled. But today at noon, like, I think that's a practice that a lot of men, well, people in general, but mainly men, because we tend to be a little slower on the thing. But like, hey, someone's got a lead, right? And like you said, and to, I think they need to like set a reminder on your phone. Hey, compliment your partner more.
There's a little game that I like to teach couples to play called Tell Me Three Things You Love About Me. And it's really, really helpful for women because we have issues around our security. And that's why making people feel safe is something that guys know they need to do, because women don't walk in the world safely. And so your masculine sexual leadership is creating the safety for our surrender. And one of the ways to create that delicious polarity is to tell a woman three things that you love about her. And women need in equal measure to be adored and to be found sexually irresistible. If you only talked about how hot her ass was all the time, we'd be like, you're just objectifying me, you know? And if we only talked about how delicious her cooking is or how great she did getting that deal done or whatever, we'd be like, well, he doesn't even think I'm sexy.
Yeah.
And so to avoid the you can't win, my recommendation is adoration and sexual desire, like appreciation for her brilliance and her body in kind of equal measure really, really helps. And for the women who are watching us, what does he want? He wants to win and he wants your respect. So when you say, oh my God, the way you did me tonight was just unbelievable. Like, it felt so good. I was just coming the whole time you were inside me. I love the way you were moving. I don't know, were you doing some hip drop thing or something tonight? Because it really felt different. Like, you were so in a rhythm with me. We were so connected. I love how good you are in bed. And then later on, you can be like, you know, I just really respect what a good lover you are. You have always been a joy to have sex with for me. I have never met a man that I find more desirable and more compatible with me. And I just really want to tell you how much I respect who you are as a lover. Every guy in the world is going to be like, yeah, baby, that's me.
I got to keep reading those Susan Braddon emails, right? That's what they're going to say. Well, I'm glad that you brought up the women, you know, because a lot of this stuff that we're talking about is kind of male focused, even though it benefits women, right? But I think, so let's reverse it. Now we have women. What if there's a woman with a man? Their sex is fine. It's whatever. But she really is like, wants to try something different. Is horny. Maybe she wants the two guy threesome. Maybe she wants to go to the sex party. Maybe she wants to like watch some wilder porn. She's sick of masturbating to stuff by herself. It's time for her to say, hey, you know, but she's scared because she doesn't know how he's going to react. Right. She doesn't know. How does that woman get what she wants with a man who maybe is like kind of like old school or like,
yes,
kind of
slightly
like
in his shame?
Yeah, like there's still like
he's not trying hard.
Oh,
he's thinking too simplistically.
This means I suck kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's,
yeah. Oh yeah. She's complaining. So here's what I would do. Mm-hmm. I think I've told you about this.
Probably.
Because I want to know what yours are. The sex life bucket list. Mm-hmm. Have we talked about that before?
We talked.
Sex life bucket list.
I think
list?
In one of your four appearances, this being the fourth, by the way, you've tied the record for appearances, most appearances on Sex Party, which is amazing.
I'm so glad. Thank you. I love you so much.
It's a three-way tie, which it could go to anybody. This is your fourth time on the show. We kind of talked about the bucket list a little bit. I don't think we dove into it, but yeah.
So here's what I love about the bucket list. The Sex Life Bucket List, it's at sexlifebucketlist.com, amazingly. And it's a PDF that you download, and it has 48 erotic play dates on it. And you get a video and I walk you through it. You get a PDF. You can print it out at home. and get out your little pencils and you watch the video and I walk in a really sexy way, fun, sexy way. It's like it's your first erotic play date. I walk you through what the 48 different ideas are and they're all yummy and fun. None of them are going to be like, ah, you know, it's not going to do that at all. Some of those people's bucket lists out there are like, Jesus, you are a weirdo. Like that's mine is like nice, hetero, hot. Hot, sexy shit.
I could never see you calling somebody a fucking weirdo, though.
I know. I like weirdos generally. But anyway, you go through it. I walk you through it and you mark A, B, or C. A is, ooh, this is definitely going on my bucket list. B is, well, it wouldn't be on my bucket list. Like, I don't need to find my prostate. I don't have one. But if it was on your bucket list, I would totally be down for doing that. And C is, it's not for me right now. And then you can compare your bucket lists and be like, oh God, look, there's 17 things we both want to do. Mm-hmm. Let's start doing these together. How does Thursday night sound to find my G-spot?
Right. Yeah. No, we did talk about this in one of the previous episodes. And the brilliance of it is actually the comparison piece, because when you find something that's even close, like, oh, wait, okay, we could link those up or whatever. What is one of yours, like personally? Like what is something you could, it could be something you've accomplished, something you haven't accomplished, but like give me one.
Yeah, I have done everything on that list with the exception of one thing. Well, I can't find my prostate, so you can count that one out.
Sure.
But I haven't done the urethral orgasm because that just makes me squeamish. Mm. But I've done everything else. And the thing that I am currently really enjoying doing is that for the first time in my life, I have a husband and two boyfriends. And so they're all going to be here for the holidays. And I want to have quite a few foursomes, me with my three partners. They're all straight. They all love each other. They all get along. They're all fantastic in bed. They're all handsome and delicious and wonderful. And I just want to cook. I just want to feed them. And that's what I want to do. Yeah. And so I'm kind of gearing up for that, because you don't just like jump in to having three guys going at you. You got to kind of work your way up and get all that tissue really engorged, especially at 62 for me. I mean, you know, I got to work my way up to that. And so that's what I've been doing basically since Thanksgiving, is working my way up. Like, I've got two guys here right now, my husband and one of my boyfriends here for Thanksgiving. And so I am having lots of threesomes with them. So that's an exciting thing for me.
Does it get any more Susan Bratton than that? I think my question now is, will the foursome be like holiday themed? Like, will one of them be dressed as Santa and then maybe one's like a snowman? And because role play is important too, right? I don't know. Do you need role play when you have four people having sex?
It is funny that, they like me to wear lingerie. They just really enjoy the visual of the lingerie. And you know, I wear lingerie. I've got my lingerie on for your show under here. I'm always wearing my lingerie for them because it's really important to them. But one of the things that I don't like to do when things are getting really hot and heavy and I'm completely surrendered to my pleasure and I'm not doing anything but receiving pleasure and giving the pleasure of the joy of my pleasure to my partners, I don't really like to have anything on because, you know, those heels, they press your feet funny. And I need everything to be very relaxed. And lingerie is kind of tight and scratchy. And so I don't like it at all. So we are nude for those things.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like you don't eat the garnish, right? Like, come on. Like
I do. I eat the parsley. It's a breath freshener.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. You know the metaphor. The napkins look great, but it presents the plate better. But it's not like, you can't, I totally dig it. That makes so much sense. But on the role play tip, right? Like, how important is role playing in a healthy, because I feel like with the couples thing, right? You either do or you don't. It's either you're being arrested by the cop or like, you know, the two brothers are coming to fucking town to saw the logs or whatever. What, either doing that shit or you're like, oh, no, no, we would never. And it's usually one partner that's sort of a stick in the mud about it. But how important is role play in a relationship?
It's not important at all in any way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's really, and that's why I think the sex life bucket list has 48 erotic playdate ideas, because, and honestly, a big chunk of them are orgasmic expansion, orgasmic activation. Some are sex positions. There is role play on there, but it's only one of the things. Mm-hmm. And it could be that, you know, there's different types of people who have different types of lovemaking styles. Some, you know, you've heard Jaya's erotic blueprints, I'm sure, and those kinds of things. You know, so there are some people who having to role play takes them out of their turn on. Mm-hmm. There's also this idea of Dr. Donna Markova's visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. So, for example, every one of us is dominant in either our visual, our kinesthetic, or our auditory during lovemaking, which is a theta brainwave state. So orgasm and sensual, you know, like erotic sensual connection where the world falls away and time stands still and you're just playing off of each other, that's the theta state. It's the same state as meditation. And that's why often in orgasm, you can connect to source, connect to God. That's the whole thing that Tantra and other spiritual sexual practices leverage, is the theta brainwave state. And for some people, when they're in that state, they're auditory, like my husband, who loves me to tell him dirty stories. He hears them, but he can barely remember what I even said afterward. He just loves to hear the dirty stories. Where for me, that's actually not that important, though I like my husband to tell me how sexy I am, how beautiful I am, how good things are feeling, stuff like that. I don't need stories. And I'm not a visual either. I don't like bright lights. I like warm, darks, you know. I don't need a lot of visual. Mm-hmm. Though I do like to look in the mirror when I'm making love sometimes and see what we look like. Oh, and I got to tell you another funny thing. I'll parking lot it, but I'm going to tell you about it. But I'm kinesthetic, and kinesthetic means that you want to feel that those are the sensuals in the erotic blueprint. It's the, I love the feeling of the skin. I love the candlelight, the warmth, the sensuality, which is why I write passionate lovemaking techniques, because I'm a sensualist. Because I don't write kinky tips and BDSM. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I write the sensual stuff. I write the erotic stuff, the orgasmic stuff. And I think that's another important consideration when you're making love with your partner or partners, is what are their styles? How can you really dial in the thing they love the most? My other boyfriend, he likes the moaning. Boy, oh boy, does he like the moaning. He's auditory as well, but it's not around story. He likes me to just moan and moan and moan and come and scream. And, you know, it's just like the louder, the better for him. So once you find out what it is your partners really love, you can kind of double down on it. And so it's either visual, auditory, or kinesthetic. And I think the lingerie is definitely feeding into that visual piece of things. We're all some of these things, but there's a dominance that we have in one of the categories.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting, because I was like thinking about what I was, and it's like, geez, I'm kind of all over the place. I'm kind of a fucking nut case, to be honest. Like, almost everything turns me on, like sense wise, I guess, you know. But like, if I had to pick one, I don't know that I could. I'm a huge fan of reading like a super raunchy text. That like has really come into focus the last like, you know, a couple of years or whatever for me. So I love that. I think that's super underrated. Some people are like, oh, would you rather get a nude or like a raunchy text? And I'm like, to be honest,
I would probably raunchy text.
I think so. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, that makes me, it's just like descriptive, right? There's something about the psychology of it, but also the psychology that takes to send that text. It's just, yeah. I'm a psychological lover, I guess you would say.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. What was the story you remembered you wanted to tell me?
So I just got a pair of Ray-Ban Meta glasses. They're the glasses that you wear that have the camera that can take pictures and video with voice command. And so we just did some video. We had a threesome the other night and we took video of it. And Tim was wearing the glasses and he was taking the video of us all having sex. And the way he was doing it, we have these mirrored doors next to our bed. And so he was looking down and taking video of all of that, like POV. And then he was looking and in the mirror so you could see the whole scene. And I mean, for our first ones, they came out great. And I'm thinking to my, and you know how Ray-Bans are kind of like these big, black, nerdy looking glasses. Mm-hmm. You know, like pretty, next time I have sex, we'll probably all three of us will have on these big black glasses and we'll be having hot sex with each other and filming a three-way POV, you know?
You guys are going to make a fucking fortune if that's going on OnlyFans.
I already put it on my OnlyFans.
Already. Yeah, you are such a fucking innovator. That is like,
I loaded it up today. They're really cute.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you my favorite one. I will tell you my favorite one. Mm-hmm. It was, I was sitting, my guys were both sitting up with their backs against the headboard and like up on pillows. And I was sitting between them facing them and they were just relaxing. And I was just stroking them at the same time. And I was telling them three things I love about them. And they were playing with my breasts. Each one had a hand on one of my breasts. And I was just telling them how much I love them and the things I thought were sexy about them. I was worshiping them while I was stroking them. And Tim caught the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing, but a good part of it. It records for like, I don't know, 2-5 minutes or so. I don't even know what the recording length is. So it cuts off eventually. But it was the cutest thing to see this woman worshiping her man and the stuff that I said. And it was just super cute.
No,
cute. I'll drop it in our text so you can watch it. It's cute. You'll like it.
I mean, how innovative though, right? Like these Ray-Ban glasses are going out and Susan Bratton's using them for POV OnlyFans. I mean, that's brilliant, right? Yeah. But like if you have two boyfriends there over Thanksgiving and you're having that much sex, I mean, is there any turkey left? Did you guys just kill it all or what?
It's completely done. As a matter of fact, right when we're done tonight, I'm going to be making, I have a beautiful little ham and I'm making homemade macaroni and cheese and I'm making peas because I just think that's like a perfect dinner. Like buttered salt and pepper peas, macaroni, homemade macaroni and cheese, gluten-free because I'm gluten-free, and a nice ham steak. Doesn't that sound good?
Well, you could wear the glasses, and while you're doing that, I'm sure that the OnlyFans community would love that too. You know, we don't yuck anybody's yum around here.
It's not kosher. I will give you that.
So, okay. In closing for episode 100 for your segment, is there anything you want to say to them, to me, to whatever? Do you want to give a message? Obviously, after that, we'll tell them where to find you again. We need to remind them, you know.
I just thank you for our continued developing friendship. I appreciate how much you love and adore me. I love the questions you ask me. I find you so delightful to be with. I'm so happy for your 100th episode, and may there be many, many more. And I look forward to our friendship continuing to blossom because I really do totally adore you.
No, me too. I love you. You're the best. Like, seriously, thank you so much for being a part of these 100 episodes. I mean, you're a big part of the success of the show. And I attribute a lot of things that I learned, not just sexually, but like business-wise. And like, you were the one who pushed me. You probably don't even know this, but you were the one who pushed me to actually create more content out of the show. And so,
oh, good. Yes, I saw.
Here we are.
You did an incredible job with that. Oh. I loved that.
Well, guess where the idea came from? It came from you. Yay. Came from you. So no, I want to tell you that I love you very much, and that I can't wait for our friendship to keep blooming and our collaborations to keep happening. And thank you so much for being a part of Sex Party, but also the 100th episode celebration. So it means a ton. Let's remind these party going freaks where they can find you. Once again, where can they buy things from you, get things from you? I know you don't charge for a lot of things, but.
I don't. you can find me at betterlover.com and get on my newsletter there. You can follow me on Instagram at Susan Bratton. That's the same on OnlyFans for my free account. If you want to see the Ray-Ban Meta POVs, you've got to go. You have to go to Steamy Sex Education, onlyfans.com/steamysexeducation. And last but not least, I think I told you that there's a documentary being made about me. Mm-hmm. I've set up a website now for people who are like, I want to make sure I get to see that documentary of that crazy ass Susan Bratton. It's at thegift.film. You can sign up there, and there's not going to be many emails, but you'll get some behind the scenes videos, and you'll get to see like the making of the movie, and you'll get to know when the film comes out.
Amazing. Susan Bratton, thank you again. We'll see you very, very soon. You know it. Huge thank you to my friend and first guest, Susan Bratton, for joining me here on episode 100. You guys will see her again. You know you will. My next guest, Sarah Javans, dating and relationships coach, had one of the biggest episodes of Sex Party ever when she opened up about some of her sexual experiences, scissoring, squirting, threesomes, sex parties, being attacked by shadow dicks. I had to bring her back for episode 100. We talk about how horny sexting can be if you do it the right way. We talk about some of the things she spoke about in her previous episode. We talk about me getting death threats and what's going to happen if somebody actually takes me out, right? We go there. We go dark. We also touch on her OnlyFans and her travels through America. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode 100 conversation with Sarah Javans.
Sex Party, celebrating 100 episodes.
Sarah Javans, welcome to the 100th episode of Sex Party. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing? How have you been? Talk to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, first and foremost, congratulations for getting to the 100th episode. I think that's awesome. And I feel very privileged to be on this episode. So I will be firing some questions at you because I want to find out about your journey. But I'm doing amazing. I am currently in Sin City, Las Vegas, baby. So I couldn't be better. I think we actually spoke about Vegas last time. I've had a much better time this time around.
So like no creepy basements with surgical tables and penises like flying out of the wall or anything.
I decided not to go there again. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I wonder why. I feel like if we knew, we could have done like a poll or something. Like Sarah wants to have a better time in Vegas.
Yeah.
I know Vegas pretty well. We could have polled the audience for like recommendations for you. But hey, you know, there's always next time. There's always next
time. I will be back, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so you're on this. Is this business or pleasure? You're on this American tour, right?
Yeah, well, look, mostly pleasure at this stage. I haven't been back since COVID, so it's been 4 years, and I have lots of friends over here in different cities, and it's just been so good to come over here and experience it all again, and I don't want to leave. Yeah. That's exactly what happened last time.
Yeah, once America gets its hooks in you, then you don't want to go back to anywhere. Yeah, I can imagine. We should congratulate you because you actually hold the record for the biggest episode out of all the 100 episodes and the specials. People don't realize this, but the specials are separate. I don't count those as episodes. Out of everything that I've done with Sex Party, your episode has been watched, has been listened to by thousands, tens of thousands of people. Shadow Dicks episode 85. So I needed to have you back for episode 100. We're celebrating that. What does it feel like to have opened up about all of your sexual fun things and then have tens of thousands of people go, God damn, I'm going to listen to that three times?
Yeah, look, a little confronting, if I'm honest, because I remember when we started that episode and I knew in my heart, I was like, you know what, I feel pretty open and comfortable with Dustin. I'm going to share some pretty hot and heavy things. And of course, as I said before we started recording, it's always that stuff that people resonate with the most because it feels real and it was real. So that episode, as you can tell, it obviously really connected with people. So I feel great about that. But you also get that little feeling inside where like, oh my goodness, all these people. But to be honest, I've had lots and lots of messages and they said, I listened to your podcast with Dustin and thank you. Like this stood out to me, like asking me questions. So yeah, it was actually a really good conversation starter for a lot of people.
No, yeah, that it really, really was. I think I had a lot of messages and they were from horny gentlemen. But so I ignored those. But the ones that I had from women were like, how do I be more like Sarah? And I'm like, you know, you could send her a message and ask her that or whatever, but what stood out to you about the episode? And they were like, the fact that she was so open, with what it took to be herself and be comfortable in that, I want to achieve that. Yeah. And so I think that really struck a chord with a lot of women who do want to, you know, have more fun and like, you know, have more pleasure and maybe they're not getting it and they feel trapped. So I think that episode like really broke open a lot of things for a lot of women, which is really, really cool. And maybe like, I don't know, maybe there's something there for you. I know you coach men, you know, primarily, but I think that, look, a lot of women message me around the show privately and they're like, if I didn't have to have all the judgment, I would start an OnlyFans. I want to make money. I like sex. I like pleasure. I like whatever. I would have a threesome. I would da 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 da. And then when your episode came along, I feel like it just sort of validated even more that there was other women that felt that way and then some were living that way. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could like, you know, start a summer training camp or something for, I don't know.
Oh, that would be hilarious. Yeah. it's interesting because we're all on such a personal journey and experimentation is part of that. I mean, I don't think I'll ever stop experimenting. And so I'm never going to know everything. And I think in different seasons of your life, you're more open to different things as well. So I always think about that and what it would be like to coach women. But it's very similar to the way I coach men because you have to evaluate every individual. You have to look at their background. You have to look at their age, their emotional maturity. You have to look at where they live. They have to look at the friends they have, their peers and everything, because that's really what creates who you are and how you act and what choices you make and whether you feel guilty or shame around things like this, you know, about pleasure. And then sharing or expressing that is a whole nother level to experience the judgment. But I do think about it a lot and I'm not saying I have it all figured out or that my way is the best way and maybe my way might change, but there's something in it. I've learned so much doing this. I've become a lot more secure as a woman. You know, there's times throughout the month where you feel a bit more sensitive. Of course, I'm a sensitive soul, but I feel very secure. Like last night, my partner was actually on a date with somebody, Dustin, back home in Australia. And I'm sitting here in bed with my girlfriend. And it was just so funny because she didn't speak like great English, but she spoke Spanish. So my friend spoke Spanish and we were like saying, hey, totally fine. Like, we hope you have the best time tonight. And it really helped her like relax because she thought, oh, does Sarah know that I'm with you? Do you know what I mean? Like, this is what women do. They're like cautious. They're like, wait, how does this open thing work? And it was just such a wholesome, hilarious thing. And they ended up having such a fun night. And yeah, it just made me smile. And I was reflecting this morning thinking, I don't feel like jealous. I feel really good and excited that he and her had that fun adventure last night, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, we talk a lot about open relationships on this podcast, this program, this show, whatever the fuck this thing is, through all 100 episodes. I think the the number, well, probably the number one thing is like threesomes, open relationships. We dip into polyamory and we dip all over the place. When I dip, you dip, we dip, right? Yeah. So whatever. Oh my God. Whatever. Yeah. So, but it's different. Like, your open relationship setup is different than someone else's, right? There is no like rule book and things like that. And I think that's where people sort of get caught off guard, confused. And you really have to like iron it out with your partner or there's going to be some weird moments, you know, like.
There'll be some weird moments anyway throughout doing any setup. And I, and it makes me, well, I want to ask a question if I can, about, you know, what do you think is, maybe not the weirdest, but a story that you immediately think of over the last 100 episodes where it just stands out, like the first one that comes to your mind that you think, whoa, like it kind of opened something inside you or it shocked you?
Ooh, that's a really, really great question. I think, oof, well, a funny one to me is when we, in the first, I don't know, 20 episodes, to realize like how much food is actually at a sex party. That I think to me that is like the funniest thing I've ever I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Like, oh, like, you know, you can just go and eat snacks. And I'm like, who is going to the sex party and eating fruit roll-ups and peanuts while people are being spun around on a fucking thing? So that's right, like little charcuterie boards and shit like that. And I'm like, wow. And then apparently the catering is like really good at some of these sex parties. That to me has been something that was like really funny. On a more serious note, like just to get deep for a second, I would say the thing that has really shocked me, made me angry, and also like kind of felt a little a bit hopeless, I would say, is the way that this country especially, but like the way that men in particular treat sex workers. Like, not only like an OnlyFans girl or someone who does OnlyFans or whatever, they feel like they can just like touch and grab and do all these things. But like, you know, I had a sex workers advocate on in the first season, and they, you know, she talked about how much like sometimes when prostitutes get, you know, hurt or killed or whatever, or assaulted, that they like mark it as like a non-human event so they don't have to investigate it. And so, yeah. So like to bring the energy down for a second, I would say that to me has been the most shocking, but I just think that there's this thing that, I knew was there as a man. I was always against it. I always had my own thoughts about it, but like this idea of I'm a man that belongs to me. Like, I don't have to earn it. I can just like be a fat loser jerk and like grab people's boobs and shit. What, like that kind of crap. Like, I've always hated that. And so doing the show and hearing stories of women, cause that's all that's been on the show, and also people who do sex work, how bad it really is. It just makes me feel like, like now, like, okay, we're going to like explore this more in season three, I think. Cause that's something to me that just like, I knew it, but it blew my mind. Until you really see it and see it again and see it again. Yeah. I think that that would be the shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like even on OnlyFans, like the baseline way of communicating at first is just quite rude, to be honest, like from my experience.
How so?
Well, to me, it's rude to just be so blatant and like, you know, what do you have? Kind of like they're buying items at the supermarket. And it's like, this is me. I'm sharing me with you. So it's not just another POV or a fucking blowjob video. Do you know what I'm saying? This is me. Yeah. I'm sharing a moment that I created and it's very intimate. So like men that are rude like that, I just don't, I'm like, no.
Yeah, get out of here, buddy. And no.
You know, I am trying because it's you know, I'm not, I wouldn't know. Like, you've spoken to some incredible people and people that are sex workers and really understand this on that level. I haven't experienced that, but I have been able to experience a little bit of it. And my strategy is to say, hey, look, I'm a little different. I understand that, you know, I create content like this, but I like to get to know you and I like to build a relationship because the nature of what we're sharing is very intimate. And they often respond quite well to that. And the ones that don't, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing too, is like, that's actually surprising to me a little bit because, you know, I've talked to a lot of OnlyFans creators, obviously, and they always say that because men are paying, or women, I guess, but mainly men are paying to be there, that they're, for the most part, they're usually more respectful than, like, you know, an Instagram DM, like, hey, nice fucking ass or whatever. But I would imagine, like, you do get those guys that are like, hey, what's on the menu? How much is a...
And I get it. I mean, it is what it is. So I don't get annoyed, but if they're rude to me, or like, give me a preview. I'm like, you've not bought anything. Like, piss off. Don't waste my time. Yeah. Just stuff like that, you know? Piss off. No, I like that. I like that you've got both sides, like the catering and the deep, like real reason. I think you need that. I mean, with anything that you do, like what's the mission? Why? Like, why are you so interested in this? Because I think that's what really keeps you going. Is there something deeper that you want to shift or change in the industry? That's, you know, why I do what I do, or a big part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think this show, to me, it will always be a party. It will always be a bit chaotic. I will always be silly, right? You're not, whatever. Maybe I'll grow up. Maybe I won't, whatever. But I think the thing is on the other side of that, you should be able to dial up any episode you want of this podcast and like learn something as well as laugh your ass off. And so I think you need both the chaos. Well, I mean, what party is good if there's not a little chaos and a ton of value, right? You got to have a good time, but you want to have that like 15 minute interesting conversation about how bottles are made or something in the kitchen with someone like, oh, I didn't know that. Ugh, whatever. So I think so. And
eating,
I think
the charcuterie board and peanuts, you know, and then jumping back into the bedroom, like,
take a handful of or like discovering some weird thing, like, oh, I made a wrong turn in this person's house, and it's like, oh, they have a sex swing and or whatever, you know, like you always want to be discovering things. And for me, and I don't care like how like goofy this might sound, but for me, I just don't think like anything gets better for anybody until women start to be like some equal shit. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
It's a real can of worms, that topic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because there is just some things that are hardwired into the nature of people. There is like good people and there is some bad people out there. Like,
for sure.
It's a really tricky thing to talk about. Like, this past week, I've had some pretty mind-blowing conversations about it and some really nasty characters that have done things unimaginable in terms of just violence and harassment within relationships. It's like this stuff happens every single day. Every single day. And I'm not sure if there's just one answer to it. Again, as I said at the beginning, you've got to evaluate that person. How did they become this way? Are they born that way or are they made through their experiences? And how do you solve that? Do they even want a solution? There's all of these kind of things that pop up for me, you know?
Yeah. Do they even know that something's wrong with their fucking squirrel brain? Yeah. I don't know.
There's like whole communities out there, Dustin, that believe that men should be treated like shit and they should be treated like sluts because that's what they are. Like full blown, it's like a religion. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's out there, and you know, every time I think, oh, why am I doing this? I connect with that and go, that's why I'm doing it. Because what if, like, there's women, you know, women and men getting hurt every single day, sex workers, like all of the time, whether they're single or in relationships, and it does kind of, I mean, it motivates me. I don't know about you, but I'm just like, let's make a healthier future for, you know, the next generations, because what are they walking into?
Yeah, a lot of barbed wire. Probably. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's hard to have sex or a party when you're tangled up in barbed wire. Shame is a thing, but it is passed down culturally.
Yes.
You know, through your family and through your friends, through the fucking media, all that shit, right? But I just think if we can, like, you know, rock and roll our way through another 100 episodes and just keep pushing that boulder up the hill. That's sort of the plan, right? Because I get attacked on a daily basis. Actually, what's crazy to bum this episode out even more, right?
Are we going down?
We'll go back up. But like lately, I've been getting like true death threats, like from men. Yeah. Like they just don't like maybe some things that I say. And, you know, like, are you ever going to have any dudes on? And it's like, and then it like quickly, you know, goes into like the red pilly kind of thing. And then next thing you know, it's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. That's been happening lately. And that's, you know, to be expected. I didn't expect it this early, but then again, that the show like has really grown a lot in this last season. So this last calendar year has just been insane. So
can I ask like, why though? Like what they, just because they don't like what you say or because you're speaking with women or they don't think women should be talking like this or like what, what is it?
Yeah. I think it's a mix of things. Yeah. And I know from being a nightclub promoter that like dudes just don't like me because they just assume I'm going to be an asshole. They assume they see me talking about sex openly and not afraid. And they see me around a lot of women and, you know, and I think that threatens their, you know, mental capacity or whatever, it is. Yeah. So there's probably a level of jealousy or whatever. The thing, you know, when I used to do nightclubs and shit, it was great because, you know, people who hated me, they would come, they would have to talk to me to like, you know, get beyond me to get to a DJ or a girl or something. And I'd be like, hey, do you want a shot? Like, what song do you want? I'll take you to the, and like, they're like, oh my God, this guy or whatever. But like, it's very hard to do as a podcast host to thousands of, you know, red pill mom's basement weirdos. This is gonna really just get the death threats flowing in now.
And you're never gonna beat them, but that's horrible. Like I can't imagine what that actually feels like, to be honest, Dustin. So you're a very strong and very courageous person to continue doing it, like, well, in the face of that, you know.
Thank you for saying that, but you know what, it reminds me that this is probably what it feels like to be a woman sometimes and get fucking insane messages, because a lot of times dudes also message incessantly thinking that like they're messaging you or another female guest, and it's like really crazy disgusting shit. And like the bigger the page gets, the more of those I get. I haven't got to the point where I've like, I'm going to hire. I always fuck with them, right? I'm always like, oh, make sure you're subscribed, sweetie, kiss, you know, like whatever. And whenever they talk shit about my guests, I always have like something, you know, cause you know, to say back, cause I think it's funny or whatever, but you know, that's par for the course. And so, you know, I couldn't imagine it being another way. I knew this stuff was coming in the early episodes. I talked about it. So keep the hate flowing, guys. Preferably do it in the comments so we can elevate the algorithm. You know, we're now gonna zoom upward in this segment, and we're gonna have some fun. Are you having wild adventures in this trip in America? Is it more laid back this time? What's going on?
Yeah, I feel like I've had some pretty wild adventures. Yes. where do I start? where do I start?
Here we go.
Yep. So strap, buckle in or buckle, don't buckle up, whatever you say. Sure. But yeah, I think there's been some really fun explorative things. Like I think what I'm about to share is some of the raunchiest stuff I've ever experienced. And it's not the way that you think it is. It's not like 10 people in a room, but it's something that got me so horny and so excited. I don't think I've actually ever experienced such a mental stimulation like I have from this experience.
Okay.
So
I'm so in. That was such a tease. That's great. This is great.
I was actually just talking to him before I got on and I said, oh, I'm about to do this podcast. And he goes, I want nothing more than to be under that desk, like underneath with my head between your legs. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'm ready.
So is he between your legs right now, like under the desk?
It could be. You just don't know. Maybe that's why I was concerned when the friend walked in. So perhaps we were getting caught. I'm not, the audience can work that out.
love it.
Yeah, essentially like, you know, is a friend of mine, and you know, he's very good with words and probably one of the best that I've ever experienced with stimulating through words. And I haven't read many like erotic novels. I'm not sure if you've interviewed anyone that writes erotica, have you?
One or two, but we haven't really got into it.
Yeah, okay. I personally haven't, but I'm progressively more curious about it. Anyway, so we kind of start getting a bit like frisky in the text messages, and I'm really enjoying it because it's not just typical stuff. And I mean, I could totally read one out, but I wasn't prepared, but this just came to me. So I'm not going to do it justice, but maybe I'll share something and cut it, or I don't know, we could put it up on the screen.
Sure, whatever you want to do. Yeah. This is all you.
It. I said to him, I was like, oh my God, I've never met someone that can just like dirty talk in such a subtle, such a classy way. And that's what most women want. We want to be stimulated mentally, emotionally. We want to use our imagination. And the way he was talking and describing sex and intimacy, describing the anticipation in the sex, was like so freaking hot. Like I'm smiling, I'm getting giddy, I'm just like so excited to read the message. And it's really just erotica, and it's a skill that I think a lot of men don't have. Like most of my clients, they would not write like that, you know? So yeah, to me, I think that was probably one of the raunchiest things, which led to me getting to my hotel in New York, and I was all alone, and I hadn't masturbated in, I don't even know how long. Like I'd use like my vibrator while having sex, like with my partner or something, but I hadn't like had that moment by myself. And I never get turned on by dick photos or even dick videos. Like I don't even get turned on by a guy just sending a half naked photo or a naked photo. It just doesn't do it to me. However, in conjunction with the words, that is what got me going. So then when I combined that with watching like this video of him blowing, I suddenly was like, holy moly, like I'm actually getting turned on by this, which I'd never really experienced previously. And so I, yeah, set myself up in this beautiful room looking over the city in New York. And then I was still fully clothed. Like it was the weirdest experience. And I just, yeah, I just masturbated and like came three times and sent it through to, you know, I was all hot and flustered, but I recorded a little bit for OnlyFans, of course. After I was like, I better get this down.
This monitor. Yeah, yeah. You got to check all the boxes.
But that was probably one of the raunchiest things that has really stayed with me, because it was like, we need more of this in the world. We need more people that value the art of mental stimulation just as much as physical stimulation, because together, whew, that is where it creates fireworks. And then the next, I think it was either that night, I think we're on the phone for like 2 hours, and he like, yeah, we had phone sex for... until, yeah, I came again. So pretty raunchy, even though I was by myself.
Yeah, no, I think, okay, first of all, that's amazing. Very, very amazing. And like second, and I've said this before, I think I've been asked, would you rather get a nude or a raunchy text, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, like I can't tell you how many times I've masturbated to words from someone, like to actual, I will screenshot the text thread so I have it later.
Wow.
And I'll just, that's like one of my favorite things. And it is, there is a subtlety to it, especially the other way, a man texting a woman. I think you're right. You do sort of have to set the table before you bring the dick out and whatever. But like, it is a very subtle sort of the things that you wouldn't normally go to right away. Someone's voice or something on your neck and your ear, those little things, right? You start there, you start working your way into whatever. And then once you get there, you're right. It is the absolute hottest thing in the world. And then you kind of have a vibe of how this person is, and you can like send videos back and forth and whatever. I totally agree with you. It's one of my, and I think it's massively underrated.
Yes,
and
totally.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill for sure. And it's not one that everyone has. let's put it that way.
No, and look, he's interested in writing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think you have to have an interest in it, because I was showing my boyfriend and he was kind of like, oh, whoa. Like, he would never, ever write anything like that, because it's just not him. Like, so I think you've got to have an interest in it, or like you said, like you actually have to appreciate being stimulated with words. I haven't actually heard many men say that except for the guy I'm messaging and you, Justin. Like, not many people get turned on by like a woman like describing something sexy. So I do believe it's underrated.
Yeah, it's very underrated. And I think, you know, anybody can send their dick or their boobs or their, you know, pussy or whatever, right? And that's great. We love that consensually, right? Yada yada. But the thing that, you know, is far more difficult is before you send that, like to send a group of words, perhaps even a paragraph or two, right? But it doesn't have to be. It can be one line. It can be yada yada. I think the funny thing is back in the day, it used to be, what are you wearing? You know, it used to be like, oh, that would be the introductory.
Yeah. Well, do you want me to share? Like, what?
Of course, I want you to share. I mean, yeah,
there is a whole book here. There is a whole movie here. And
let's hear it.
You can get angry, but it's just, because I said, I'll talk to you after the podcast. And he goes, please do. Also, I hope you think about the phone sex and the puddle you were in while just talking over the phone and that delicious little thought of what it could possibly be like in person, sitting in the back of your head as you chat, all of this delicious naughtiness. Just imagine me listening in and you talking to me as if I was in the next room. And then just imagine all of the deliciousness that would inspire in you for you. I don't know, a lot of squirting, sexy, hot faces. But that's not even anything, right? That's just like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like the setup. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very good with that. Anyway, I want to share that because that's probably one of the most recent adventures I've had.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really important. So as a woman having this experience just now, or, you know, with this gentleman, right, this guy, So what tips would you give, right, to men who do want to be more intentional? And I'll give one too, but yours are going to be better. So like, what would you say for someone who wants to start out subtly texting, setting the table?
Well, I feel you have to consume it first. So this particular guy has already consumed erotica and understands it or listens to it or, knows how to put words together in the right way to describe sex and intimacy beyond dick and pussy. So like if you have a limited vocab, it is going to be hard and you're going to start wherever you're at and you have to develop it. So I think showing an interest or listening to even podcasts like this with experts and reading the different words to describe, a penis or a vagina or the act of building anticipation, that will really help because then you actually have words that you can use to create that picture and you understand, what's going to really stimulate her.
Yeah, no, that's a fucking excellent tip. Like just to open your phone to thesaurus.com and get some different words for penis, right? Get some different words for hole. like, you know what I mean? Like to describe entry, sensation.
I'm learning so much from him. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. There is a lot of words you can use or words I probably wouldn't use, but still interesting.
Yeah. And like, if you send a text to a woman and she needs to go then Google what those words mean, you are winning so hard. So like, keep it up. What I would say is the good stuff is in the very small details.
Yeah.
Like, so work those details, work them good and like go slow, take your time. Mm-hmm. Like she'll tell you, you'll get signals of when to speed up and slow down. You know what I mean? Cause like, I feel like that sort of, it has to feel like a natural flow. And I think from the details, the small details, what do your fingertips feel like on her skin, right? Like, are you using little nails or a lot of nails? Are you pulling? Are you yanking? What does it smell like, right? Those things are like, boom. And then you can work your way up to, the fireworks and shit. But I don't even think you need to worry about that in the beginning.
Well, exactly. And look, the other side to this is, and I've had an experience like this not long ago. He was very good at texting and building anticipation. But when I met him and, I was wanting him to kiss me and launch himself on me, he was the complete opposite. And it was like, so I think it's, you don't have to have had those experiences. That's what it is. Like, you're just imagining it and whatnot, but don't put the pressure on yourself when you see them, or expectation. Like, you've got to manage expectations. Otherwise you think, okay, he's messaged like fingertips and your inner thighs and I'm going to make you do this. And like, be careful with what you promise. Like, don't promise it. Just like, look, I was just saying that, you know, cause I've had those experiences where I'm like, oh goodness, this is not good.
Yeah. Well, oh God. Yeah. You don't want to paint yourself into like an expectation corner, but I feel like if you're okay, if you're somewhat comfortable with yourself and your abilities, you'll get, I mean, if you guys are patient, it'll happen. Cause I've done that too. We've gone hot and heavy in the text, then we meet, right? And it's good, but it hasn't gotten to that whatever.
Yeah.
But then eventually it did, because it was just like this weird sort of like thing, you know. You can break through that too, you know, if you have time.
Yeah, but you need to be aware of it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's why a lot of people get, if they sexed before meeting, it's a bit awkward. But if you just own it and go, hey, like, let's not have any expectations, it does help, because you know, there is going to be some awkwardness because you've just been talking about like amazing, sexy, extreme situations via text. And now you're catching up for a coffee at the local shop, you know, it's a completely different environment. But yeah, I agree with you. You can definitely break through it and you just respect it. So it's not okay. Just because we were talking in that way through messages doesn't mean we escalate to that right away. It means let that build in real life as well. And I think a lot of guys think, oh, because she's spoken about sex, because she's spoken about explicit themes, it means she just wants to fuck. And that's not it.
Yeah, no. And again, like, it's a dance. And even if you don't know how to dance, like, you can still like learn on the fly. And who, you know, you just have to kind of like flow with it the way that you feel. I feel like a lot of people, maybe that's what's lacking. And I feel really grateful that I have had this my whole life, is this like, I just have this intuition. I just kind of go with whatever, right? And I feel like a lot of people don't have that. I very naively thought growing up that everyone had that. Yeah. And so when I would say things and do things, people were like, what? Oh, and I'm like, wait, don't you, is it that? And so now, right, the last 10 years or so of my life, I'm like, oh man, I have this really great intuition. And so that allows me to just like be confident and just go with it. And then there's a level of like, if it doesn't work out, fuck it. But most people aren't like that. And so I wish in the coaching sphere, in the sex sphere, there was something for people to learn how to be more intuitive and just kind of trust the ride. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Intuition and knowing when to take that risk and how to handle if it's not taken the way you thought it would be, and then how to adapt. I feel like the intuition and that adaptability kind of goes hand in hand of knowing like, oh, are we treading the line here, and like, oh, is this what this is? And you kind of have to take a micro risk to find out. And I think a lot of people don't do that, and they don't let themselves do that, so they never actually learn. But something I do with clients, as well as the virtual dates for practicing, is like chat training. So actually practicing the art of short form communication, because that's what it is. You're using words to create a feeling or stimulate an emotion in somebody else. And where do you go to practice that? So I feel like having more coaches doing exercises like that and learning about it is really going to help people.
Yeah, no, I think that's fucking amazing. And I think that like chat training is so innovative because of not only like texting and like dating apps and, you know, the fucking dumpster fire that social media is, but even when you're with somebody in person, like that, like conversation is the first form of foreplay, you know? And so you gotta learn to at least be, you know, a C-level student in communication in order to get to where you want to go, I think, right? I definitely want to ask you, okay, so in closing, right, to this segment, you've been in America for a couple weeks now, right? You're traveling around, you know, New York, Vegas. You skipped Chicago. We'll talk about that later. That was not very nice. Okay. But What is something you've noticed that like around sex and dating that you think is better in America than it is in Australia? Because we've heard a lot of really great things about Australia, the sex education over there, the lack of shame. It's, you know, whatever. So like, I feel like we need to, I mean, there's got to be something that you were like, okay, Americans are better at this, or Americans have this sort of whatever. And if there's not, then I guess there's not. But I can tell you're really struggling. Nothing comes to mind.
Well, when I think about like my recent experiences, I've had some pretty contrasting ones. Like I've had experiences with American guys that was very, as my coach described it, like a leaky sexual energy. So that energy feels off. Like, it's like, I like him, he's a friend, but he was so eager and so like wanting to, you know, do something sexual and stick his dick in my mouth. I'm like, damn, like let me play with my pussy a bit here, dude. It feels like he's trying to take something. There's an agenda. So that it's like a leaky sexual energy. And I'm like, that felt horrible. Like you walk out of those experiences thinking, wow, like I don't even know. Yeah, that was not right. And, you know, he's sharing, oh, a lot of American women are like that. I'm like, really? Or are you just attracting that? And then the way you're acting in the intimate space is causing them to seem that way. But in actual fact, you're the one that's quite entitled and just wanting to get off and not giving a shit about the other person. So I've had that experience. And then I've had, you know, contrasting experiences, which have felt really amazing intimately with, you know, beautiful lesbian couple, like they're American. They were lovely. So very just contrasting. Like, I don't think there's all Americans, hey, it's like this. I think it again comes back to the individual. And I was, it was sad. I was like, oh, like this is not nice. This leaky kind of sexual energy. And it made me start to reflect about, okay, who you choose to be sexual with and thinking about who, what kind of person they are, what their intentions are, what their energy's like. That's definitely been something I've been more conscious of on this US trip.
Yeah. I mean, leaky anything is bad, right? You know, and they saw your last episode of Sex Party. They're probably fucking chasing you around like, oh my God, it's Sarah Jevons.
I don't think he watched it. I think he'd learn a lot if he listened to Sex Party, to be honest. Maybe you could send him a link to one of your episodes and just say, hey, learn a thing or two. Because it is sad. Like if that's how their intimacy is, like he'd never received a foot rub. I'm like, what the heck? What are you doing in your life? Like, what kind of soulless sex are you having? Terrifying that this was a standard that experience. So yeah, I think you can find all sorts of flavors in the US, just like you can find all sorts of flavors in Australia, you know?
Yeah. And like, I want to shout out Australia because I got the stats back, right? These 100 episodes that we've done, Australia is the number two country and it's just bonkers. And I have to say, shout out Australia. I love you. I'll see you soon at some point. We'll get over there, right? The Sex Party World Tour. I want to close this out. I want to say thank you for being a part of Sex Party. Thank you for having the top episode thus far. Thanks for coming back for episode 100. Let's remind all of these horny, interested people where they can hang out with you, where they can work with you, where they can talk to you respectfully.
Yes, always respectfully. Instagram is the best Dating with Sarah official. And I am on OnlyFans as Dating Sarah if you want to come and have a more intimate discussion on that platform. But it's such a pleasure. Honestly, Dustin, I've said this before and I'll say it again. What you're doing and what you're going through to still show up and interview incredible experts in this field and just share real, authentic stories means a lot. Like to receive death threats, like I don't think everyone understands what that would feel like. I certainly don't. So I'm very grateful that you give people a voice, that you give them a platform, because it really does help people not just experience more sex and learn about it, but it really empowers them. And please keep going no matter what. Keep going, Dustin.
Well, thank you so much. That means a ton. And no, I guarantee, like, even if someone does try to kill me, like, I'll be here in a cast with the microphone. You know, there might be a fucking corpse here, but I'll still be hosting a sex podcast.
You just have to use AI to create you and make sure that it can continue for you.
Oh my God. Imagine if somebody took me out, like, got rid of me, like, actually killed me, and then an AI version of me, like, then they couldn't kill.
Everything you're talking about is the opposite. I don't believe that you should have open relationships or sex. Like, it's completely censored.
Yeah, no, it would be fucked. But like, imagine how disappointed you would be. You're like, I finally got rid of that guy. And then it was like an AI version, like, hey guys, I'm back, episode 155 or whatever.
Woo! I know that I'm going to be having plenty more adventures and I can't wait to share them in the future. So I'm so happy that I can have these intimate discussions with you because I do feel very comfortable being interviewed by you.
No, me too. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Anytime, you will be back. Sarah Javans, thank you so much. We will see you soon. Big, big thank you to Sarah Javans for being part of episode 100. You guys go check out everything she's doing. She has some big, huge things coming up. Sarah will return. Now for my final guest here on episode 100, Gianna Rackham. She is my girlfriend. As you know, if you've been following the show, we've met through this podcast. She's also a dating and relationships expert, a dating and relationships coach. We are going to talk about what it was like to meet on this podcast, the controversy that followed, our sex life. We're going to talk about me coming on Gianna's face. Do we have an OnlyFans coming? Do we have threesomes? Are we polyamorous? We're going to answer all of it. Does Gianna have a Feet Finder account? And what did it feel like to sell her socks to strangers on the internet? It's coming up. So listen, without further ado, please enjoy this episode 100 conversation with Gianna Rackham.
Sex Party, celebrating 100 episodes.
Gianna Rackham, welcome to the 100th episode celebration, the 100th episode of Sex Party. You are coming to me live from down the hallway in the place we live. How are we feeling?
It's good to be back, you know, after episode 19, episode 50.
Yeah. It's been a year since you've been on the show, and you know, how could I do a 100th episode without including you, without you being a big part of it? So, I want to welcome you back to the show. After this, you're going to leave your office. I'm going to leave my studio. We're going to walk 5 feet to the kitchen and have dinner, right? We live together. We met on this program, this educational sex program. 100 episodes. How do we feel about 100 episodes of Sex Party?
Well, I feel very proud of you for one. and yeah, I mean, honestly, like, and I've told you this before, even before we were even like friends, like I was just like excited for you. And I knew that like, you just had like the consistency and the dedication and like, the work ethic and like drive, which is basically the same word, but and just quality of work, where I was excited to see where your podcast went, you know. And now I get to know from down the hall, and I get to be on the 100th episode, and I'm in love with you. So it's kind of funny how that played out.
Well, I mean, thank you so much. You know, I mean, honestly, that means so much to me. Coming from you and it being said on the 100th episode of Sex Party, you know, 100 fucking episodes. I mean, I can't even really believe that mm-hmm. I'm here, that you are one of my guests, and it's just been insane. We already answered it, right? But why not fucking dive back in? How has Sex Party changed your life? The show, not the event.
Which sex party? No,
we have not been to a sex party together yet. No, so we'll just We're going to get to that in the back half of the interview. Everybody calm down.
Well, so, gosh, you know, it's so funny because I remember when you first asked me to be on your podcast, and I like was this close to like kind of blowing it off. But, you know, I was like, sex party, like this is either going to be like super like weird and creepy and I should definitely not do it, or this is going to be like kind of fun and like a little like, you know, whatever. And like, I just creeped on your stuff and I was like, okay, who's this? First of all, which is whatever. But
you know, like, no, go. What do you mean, whatever? Which is whatever.
I don't know. Like, I just like instantly was like, okay, like hot stuff. Jeez, and then I was like, okay, like this guy's like actually doing something that's like legit, but it's also like fun and like, you know, unapologetic. And like, I'm so freaking here for that. Like, hell yeah, sign me up. And so, yeah, I mean, didn't expect to like fucking get a big crush on my host and like fall in love. What the hell? Like,
yeah. Oops. I mean, look at those perks, right? Yeah. I mean, I never expected that this show would take me to the places that it's already taken me. I mean, it hasn't even been 2 full years yet. We are at episode 100. I'm incredibly just like shocked and proud at the work that has taken place thus far and the amazing guests, including you, obviously, who've been a part of it. And I mean, I wake up every single morning in a different place because I chose to do this show. I told someone else in an earlier interview on the show that this is the single greatest creative decision that I've ever made. And like, it led me to the love of my life. It led me to this gorgeous apartment that we have. We sound like we're bragging. Let's change the subject. But but no, I mean, we're horny. We're in love, you guys. I mean, come on. If anybody is just randomly, like, this is their first time seeing you on the show, like, hearing you, that now they know, like, Gianna is my girlfriend. We're in a relationship. We live together. She has a podcast. She's a coach. Yeah, I think that this is kind of a good time to also like maybe catch up the newbies, right? So just for everybody who may have not listened to one of the biggest episodes of Sex Party ever, which is episode 50, I Stole Someone's Fiance. That's the title of the episode, right? Let's catch everybody up on like, at least the newbies, right? On what you do and who you are.
Well, gosh, this is like honestly so funny because I'm just having this like, I don't know. It's like so weird. Every time I've been like on your show, it's been just so different, but like pivotal in different ways. Like the first time was like, oh, like a cool podcast and I like that I'm really enjoying and like, okay, you know, but that was like the start of something, right? Like a start of something incredibly significant. And then the second time was like controversial, like as hell, you know, which we'll get to obviously, I'm sure. But yeah, and then here we are now. But so just kind of taking that in for a second. But yeah, so I am a relationship coach and I've been coaching people for like 13 years, which is quite a long time. And you know, the things that I primarily coach women around are like feminine energy and just intentional dating, intentional relationships, and, you know, self-love and boundaries and all the things. And that's something that I'm just really passionate about, you know, and I know that you know that quite well as my boyfriend. But yeah, like I just really, 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 really think like I just have this deep calling and my clients tend to as well, to just have just the full potential love that you can have in life, which affects so much. It affects your life in such a big way, your support system, and the love that you have just like makes waves in the world, you know, like with your family, with your children, if you have them. And, you know, and you can create new paradigms, even if you were born into like families and like relationship dynamics and role models that were just complete shit, that were just toxic and codependent and unhealthy. And that's just something that, is just that I just really value. It's one of the most important things to me in life. And that I think is the most, one of the most important things that you can do in the world. And, you know, and that's what I do in my work with my clients, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. It's beautiful. And also too, though, like, I think you're selling yourself a little short because you have started to move more into, you know, like dabbling into commenting on like bigger celebrity relationships and where you see things sort of like heading, or where you see like, ah, that might be trouble later. This looks healthy, whatever. And like, I think it's sort of a new form of content that you're putting out there that I think is like super horny. It was like mm-hmm. super like instinctual, super on point, because I think, you know, living with you and working alongside you almost in a way, at least down the hallway, you've.
And sometimes you sit in my chair and work and vice versa. And
right. So, yeah, exactly. We definitely hang out in each other's studios and each other's offices. And I absorb as much as I can from you. You know what I mean? Because I think you have found a way to use your relationship coaching brain, heart, mind, soul, whatever you want to call it, all of it, right? For the last 13 years, you have found a way to use that to now like talk about sex, to now talk about what Taylor Swift's doing with Travis Kelce and whatever, you know, what people are saying.
Calling out Kim Kardashian.
All of that stuff. And I think what's really cool about that and what people get from following you on TikTok and following you on Instagram, Facebook, anywhere, YouTube, shorts coming soon, right? But I feel like they get 13 years of that professionalism now applied through the lens of like celebrity and like sex. And that's so valuable because I think it's, you know, doing this show, doing 100 episodes, as you know, because I talk about it all the time, I'm so picky about who I have on the show. I want to have the best of the best. Like, that's why I booked you in the first place. And I think it's valuable that you're applying that sexual celebrity sort of pop culture lens almost like from what you're doing. And you've been dabbling in that content for a while. And you know, obviously the reaction to it has been amazing so far. I mean, are we going to see more of you talking about sex? Are we going to see more of you talking about celebrity relationships in the future?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I love that you brought this up. You're just like, oh, I love you. you know exactly what you're doing.
I mean,
but
I'm just fucking, I'm just playing through.
I know. I love it. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as we know, like, I'm a big Swiftie, as you know. And I think it's so interesting to like comment on those things, because I think like when it comes to celebrities, people really like project onto them, like they really connect to them. And I, you know, I think that that's totally normal, right? Like for me, I listen to a lot of like Taylor Swift music and I'm like, oh, wow, like, I can like see myself in certain songs, or like, you know, see certain songs and relate them to like past relationship experiences. And so like when people see her dating like Travis Kelce, or just like, you know, whomever, right, whomever it's about, they're like, oh, like, what's like, we're fascinated and we want to know and we want to understand and we want to observe, because, you know, when all of the Swifties were like so attached to her relationship with Joe Alwyn, right? Because it was like this long-term, like her first, like really long-term serious relationship that seemed healthy, right? Before that, like her longest relationship was freaking Calvin Harris, right? And that like ended like so badly. And, you know, and so everybody was like, yeah, like, you know, Joe is dad and Taylor Swift is mom, you know, like the Swifties were all about him, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I love her album. Like she's so in love with him. Oh my God. Like happy endings. Right. And so when they saw that like happy ending, they're like, okay, like if I relate to her, then like maybe I get a happy ending. Like maybe I get like my Joe Alwyn or whatever. Right. Like hell, like even when I was like, you know, like falling in love with you. I was listening to so much of like the Reputation album and I was like, king of my heart. You know, like, that's, like, oh my God, I feel this, you know?
Of course. You know. Yeah. Yeah. I do know very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. and so when that ended, like, I think people were like, they were projecting their own experiences and were like, oh, he must have cheated, you know, like, oh, he was holding her back and like, you know, and forming all these narratives. And so it's really fascinating to like be able to dissect that for people and be like, you know, here's what I really think from my experience and like, you know, from my knowledge of like being a huge, you know, Swiftie myself and like the lyrics and this article and that. And then like taking that now into like her relationship with Travis Kelce. It's really fun. And I think it's a really like cool way for people to kind of like in their own ways, like become more self-aware around their own relationships and like have their own healing and their own like hope around relationships, you know? So I'm like so here for it, honestly. And yes, it's coming more. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think not only Taylor Swift, but there are a lot of relationships that people, they're almost unavoidable in the celebrity mm-hmm. lens, whether it's, you know, somebody who's a singer, somebody who's had this horrible breakup, I don't know, some fucking politician who gets caught cheating, like whatever. I just think that the fact that you're now applying all of this knowledge to those things that could happen anytime in the world. I mean, I think that's like really, like I said, like really, really valuable for people to follow you and be able to get that, you know, that advantage, like, cause it is an advantage to have someone like, I mean, I've said it before, like dating you is like a cheat code. You know what I mean? For me. And I've been able to do a lot of things and feel a lot of things and whatever because of, you know, just how good you are at human relationships. And it's been amazing. And therefore, right. I want to ask you, cause you're the guest. I'm just the host. I want to ask you, what has it been like? Tell them what it's been like. And be honest, right? Say whatever you, I have no idea what's coming, right? But be honest, what has it been like to date the sex party guy?
You know, it's, I mean, like, I'm clearly very happy. It's really funny because, you know, like, I fucking love, like, you, obviously. Like, I fucking love you. But I, like, love who you are and I love, like, what you're doing and I have so much respect for it. And it's so funny because like, even just yesterday, like somebody was like, oh, you guys are in an open relationship, you know, like, you must be to like date him. And like, you know, and I don't know, like, I think women, you know, like, and I know that this is something that we've talked about before, like there's certain women who like probably wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, like, and would see, you know, you being like the sex party guy or whatever, if we're gonna say that about you, as like a thing that they have to like get over or like accept or like tolerate. And I feel like the complete opposite. Like, I think that like, it's fucking awesome. And like, you know, I just love that you're willing to explore like this subject that is so like taboo for people and that people are scared to explore. And like, not only are you like, you have just incredible, like valuable content and guests, but like, it's fucking fun and it's honest and it's horny and it's like there's no shame in it. And there's no like, hey, I'm like trying to be fucking perfect and have my shit together all the time and like whatever. Like, and I just adore it so much. So, I mean, I'm so happy dating you. Like, I don't know what else to say, but I mean, obviously like you are very fun and like, you know, you're definitely like a fucking great time too. I don't know, like, and you're just like a fucking, like, what is it like dating you? I don't know. Like, it's fucking great. Like,
do I drink too much?
I mean, I think that is not my place to decide. I think that is yours to decide for yourself.
Do you see why she's so lovely? Not only is she gorgeous and she, you know, is smart and she's emotionally intelligent beyond your wildest dreams, but she doesn't judge. This is why we live together. But seriously, I mean all those things. And what is it like to date the sex party guy? I mean, I saved this for this recording, and you know, just I'll explain what I'm holding up here in a second. But you left these in my office. These are like basically black, lacy, like see-through underwear with like these little straps. These were literally attached to the wheel of my chair this morning. So, for those of you that are listening, when you're done with this recording, head over to YouTube. You can see Gianna's underwear.
I lose touch with my underwear sometimes, like especially like when you shove them in my mouth, like when, you know, and then they just like end up somewhere and I just like forget about them.
Right. Yeah. No,
I mean, I've just gotten used to leaving them behind.
That is true. I mean, sure. And I love that. I love that I can find, you know, your sexy soaked underwear on my floor wrapped around the wheel of my chair. I mean, and this leads us perfectly into our sex life. You know, you said that people just assume that because you're dating the sex party guy, that you're in an open relationship. Do we even want to answer that right now? Are we in an open relationship?
You're like putting this back on me.
Well.
Damn it.
I mean, I feel like, you know, I can take the heat from that one and then we can both answer. But as of right now, no, we are not in an open relationship. But we've had all sorts of discussions about all sorts of things. And I think the difference in this relationship versus other ones that I've had is that we've talked about what that might look like. We've talked about all sorts of things. And I'll let you answer in your own way.
You know, like something that I just really, really love about our relationship is that like, one, we're both like, just like really fucking horny people. So like, that's like a part of it, you know, like we're both just like, ooh, you know, like, and we both like have like high sex drives or whatever, but like, you know, we're very curious and explorative and like open-minded and like want to try a bunch of things and like maybe try other people, you know, like, but or like throwing another person in there, like who knows, or two or whatever. But yeah, like, and I also think that it's just, you know, and to each their own. But at the same time, like something that, you know, I really, really value, and I know that you do too, is like just fucking radical honesty and like transparency. And I just like, I just don't really believe in shame, you know, like I just think that when we have, like, I don't believe in like controlling someone into a relationship or like, you know, don't get me wrong, I believe in like commitment and like devotion and all of that. But I just think that it's just an incredibly healthy and intelligent thing to always be open to those kinds of conversations, you know? And so as far as like where that will lead, you know?
Yeah. Who knows? Right. And I think that's, you know, that's important. And the thing that you said that I really keyed in on besides the word horny was that you said honest, right? It's my other favorite H word. And that's what I love about this interview right now. As with all of the other ones, there are no notes on my desk. You have no idea what I was going to ask you. And I think that's like just so important to continue that. Like, you know, we could have planned some huge thing or it was like some big gag or something. And like, we didn't do that. And I don't do that with my guests because I feel like whatever. I usually have 4 to 6 questions tops for any guest. And then the rest of it is a conversation. And like, that is even less so with you. This whole thing is a conversation. And we're kind of just like kicking it back and forth. you know, and that being said, I mean, the other question we get a lot, right, is how often we have sex. At least I get that one. And on average, it's like once a day, but we try to aim for more, right? I mean, we wish that we had more time to have sex, like 2, 3, potentially 4 times a day, depending on where the energy levels are, right? But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, to me, even that, right? Having sex once a day with your partner, or okay, or at least trying, because there's some days where we just are too busy, we miss it, right? But mm-hmm. then like immediately that second day is that day after rather is like horny town USA. Like you're grinding on me. I'm doing weird dance moves in front of the dishwasher. Like, you know, like there's, I'm like, my hand is in places that it, whatever. And I think that even that just trying to have sex once a day, I'm not saying it's for everybody, but to me, that has been something is just so incredible for me personally in a relationship with someone, because, you know, I think everybody's in relationships where sex turns into a weapon or sex turns into something that's weird and people can't talk about. And the idea that like we have this like spoken yet unspoken thing, it's like, we're going to try to have sex once every day. And if we miss it, we'll make up for it the next day. Yeah, well, you get to 2 or 3 missed days and Gianna's on all fours with her head spun around backwards coming down the hallway like a demon.
Like, and I know
and I'm masturbating everywhere. So like, you know.
Just come all over the place. I'm just like really fucking horny, like a lot, you know, and like, and part of that is like me, and like part of that is like how you make me feel. And like, but also like I noticed such a difference in myself psychologically when I'm like not coming, you know what I mean? And like, or if I go too long without coming, you know? And so like, if I go like 2 days without it, like, it's like, I'm not a fucking animal. Like I can not fuck and like not whatever, but, or not masturbate or whatever, but like,
why
would, yeah, like for what? Like, what, you know, like, but seriously, like, my mental health and like my just like ability to just like be even more relaxed and just like in my body and like in my intuition and creativity and flow, like, and just like feel clear headed and just fucking relax. Like, it's, that is so much easier when I'm coming like most days, you know, yeah. And like sometimes twice a day. And like, that's not just like a coming thing. It's also like a psychological thing, you know, like sometimes I just like kind of like crave you to come on my face, you know? And it's like this psychological thing, you know, or like, or sometimes it's like, you know, like I want to have, you know, like we do like quickies sometimes and like, and I think that that's hot. I love it. But sometimes, you know, it's like, I'm like, oh, like, let's just like really take our time and like, you know, fucking just like get out like a bunch of energy. Like, I don't know, there's a lot, but like especially like the psychological aspect of it too, like it just feels really fucking good for me, you know. Mm-hmm. and I like it. So,
well, I mean, you mentioned me coming on your face, and so do you want to go into the cum queen thing that you didn't realize that you enjoyed all that until now? You want to talk about that? Because that, I feel like that was a big thing. Like for me, that's one of my favorite things in the world is like come on someone's face. It always has been. It always will be. Right. And so with you, we did that and you know, there's a term, like there's, you know, cum queen, like someone who craves cum in their mouth, cum on their face, cum inside them, whatever. And I remember we were talking about the rumors about Ariana Grande being a cum queen and whatever. And you sort of adopted that. Who knew I'm a cum queen? So that's the short of it. But I think it is probably pretty, you know, important. And here on Sex Party, what's better than that, right?
And I also just really love the way your cum tastes. So,
well, I mean, and I think, and this is another thing we've talked about a lot, right? Like, I love the way that you, like, your skin tastes, like, you know, even if you've like been working out and it's like a certain like pheromone thing, like you're the first person I've been with that could be like, just like grimy from your 6 hour workouts that you do. And you could just come jump on top of me and I would be like, honey, drop them. You know what I mean? Like, I just like feel like it's like a really primal, like instinctual attraction. So when you say you love the taste of my cum, like just your sweat makes me feel insane. Just the smell of like you at any time, dirty or clean, makes me insane. I mean, your pussy tastes like fucking candy and I'm a diabetic. So, you know, I agree with everything being said. And I think that just speaks to the health of our relationship, not just sexually, but, you know, and obviously you know this and because you live with me and they know it because they hopefully listen to the show every week or watch the show every week. But for me, you know, the majority of sex is psychological and that's really played a role with you. Just to maybe chuck some value to these poor people listening to this. just kidding. You guys are so lucky.
they're like, oh my God, you guys are effing pervs.
Yeah. Well, what did you expect?
Get out of here.
from our situation, from our relationship and our sex life, right? Two busy people, but still like getting it in and doing all the things, right? Plus, like combine that with your 13 years as a fucking pro in a relationship space. Give them a quick little piece of value on how they can get, you know, come on their face too, and like a good healthy relationship as well, where they can have sex once a day and they can, you know, maybe come in the face isn't their thing, but like, you know, like what would you say, knowing what you know from you and I and knowing what you know from your career, like what's a way to find a partner that does meet you where you need to be met without having to ask?
You know, I think that a lot of the times people undervalue sexual compatibility and, you know, they find themselves in a relationship with someone. They're like, oh, like attractive person, like good guy, good gal, good person, like whatever, you know, and they like feel an attraction to them because they're interested in them as a person. They like them. Maybe they think they're hot, but then they don't really go under the surface with like a sexual relationship and like the sexual health of like that person in general. And like, or even with themselves, you know, like I think there's a lot of like, and I'll speak for women because that's, the majority of whom I work with, but you know, like a lot of women are really out of touch with their own sexuality. Right. And so a lot of the times, like when that's the case, like they're waiting for a partner to kind of like initiate a lot and like, kind of set the stage for them. And I just really don't, like, I just want to invite women to like, because honestly, women are really fucking horny. Like women are just as horny as men and like they might show it differently, but like, you know, and we were talking about this yesterday, like there's a reason why a lot of women read just like the horniest books, you know, like they might not be watching porn or whatever, but then they're like watching The Vampire Diaries and they're like, oh my God, Damon Salvatore. Okay, I like The Vampire Diaries. Anyways, like, you know.
Or oh,
like,
wait, is that the show where you have a crush on the guy?
I mean, I don't really know.
We should tell that. Is that the Ian Somerhalder guy?
Yeah.
Okay, we should tell that story, but you go ahead and finish.
Okay. I mean, I don't really feel like it's like that much of a story, but okay, fair. but, you know, I think that people have to be willing to just like get into their own like self intimacy when it comes to sex and like really not be afraid of like, what do I like what really turns me on, like not just about this person and this relationship, but also like what kind of like turns me on that's like maybe kind of like that I feel like is kind of weird that I wouldn't really admit out loud, like the freaking, you know, the cum on my face, or like, you know, maybe I fantasize about a gangbang, or like, you know, or even like certain scenarios that are psychological where it's like, oh, like, you know, this, where I just wish my partner would be dominant and like come and fuck me, or like, you know, thinking about an ex in a certain way and it's about like an emotional psychological thing or whatever, right? Like really just get to know like what it is that you need and like learn how to just be honest with a partner and like facilitate that, like do your part and be with someone who's willing to do the same. Because if you're with someone who is really dismissive around sex or really guarded or really like, you know, even judgmental or, you know, like, fuck that, you know, fuck that. Like, there's so many people out there that are not like that. And, you know, to each their own. So, but I think that you need a person who's willing to be on the same page with you first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you have that, it really is about, I think, one of our favorite words that we talk about, like, you know, just a level of intentionality, right? Where like the same way that you kind of have to be intentional with taking a break and like, you know, like how it feels for me, right? Because most days, like I'm horny, right? Like I want to have sex like most days, sometimes more than once or whatever. Mm. And like, to me, I think it's about like being intentional with yourself and like being intentional with your relationship. And like, it's like the masculine and feminine energy where it's like, for me, like if I'm like really unintentional with like my time, then I could feel horny and that could just like get swept under the rug for days, you know, because it's like this work thing and that work thing and like that thing and that thing that's in the back of my mind. And like, let me feel like ahead of in my work or whatever. Right. And like, it's just so easy to like want to put yourself on the back burner, you know, and also your freaking relationship and your pleasure in your relationship on the back burner. And don't fucking do it. Don't do it, because you deserve more. And like your partner deserves more. And if you continue to do that, like not only are you going to be less happy, and like, trust me, you will do better work when you are well laid and well fucked and like well orgasmed and all the things. But like, if you're not taking that time with your partner, over time, your relationship is going to start to feel really stagnant, and hell, your partner might even feel unappreciated, unwanted, and taken for granted. And that can really damage a relationship, sometimes beyond repair. And so, you know, you have to really like keep your priorities straight and like be intentional with them day to day and like really just not be afraid to make that a priority, you know? And so I think when you have that mindset, you make room, you know, and like you make an effort and you make time. And yeah, I don't know.
No, I think that's dead on. And the thing I would add is, you know, and I told you this the other day, but like you're the first partner I have, and I'm not shading or shitting on anyone else, but I think it's a level of mental and physical maturity, but you're the first partner that I've had where after we have sex, I just feel mentally and physically better. And that's just never happened to me before. So I think everything you're saying is correct. I would also add in there, like you said, you have to tell people what you're into, whatever. You know, Gianna and I role play all sorts of crazy shit a lot, and it's fun and it helps and it's fucking a wild time. I mean, you have to have a partner you can go to and be like, hey, I got this thing. Da 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 da. I'm gonna put the mask on and come through the window or whatever, you know. And so we.
Oh my god, so hot.
We experiment with stuff, and we have our go tos, and I have my go tos, and we learn new go tos. And I just think that you're right. You do have to have those things in a relationship that's gonna be successful from a sex angle and a mental angle. Like, all those things have to line up. And you know, when you have good sex, it can be romantic one time, you know, the one round, and raunchy as fuck the next, or both at the same time. And I think when you find that, you really got to hang on to it, right? And there's a lot of factors that go into that, but I think we're really fortunate to have all of that. Couple other questions we get asked. We sort of touched on this one with the open relationship polyamorous thing that people always ask, oh, you guys must have threesomes, right? And we're not having threesomes, but I would say that we're open to it. We've discussed it, right? So that answers that. Whatever else you'd like to add.
I mean, you know, as we've discussed, I also like find women attractive, right? And so, you know, like I think that like at some point throwing another woman or two in the mix will just like be, and it like could potentially just like very accentuate like an experience. But, you know, like I think that we're just so like just still really in such a deep exploration, like just with each other, that it's like we just like haven't really gotten to it. It's kind of like, you know, so,
and we're not like, rushing just,
like,
either. Yeah.
Yeah, like I mean, like what's the rush? But like, you know, I just feel like they're like where we're both at is like, we're like, ooh, I want to do this with you. And like, ooh, like this and that. And like, try this and try that. And like, you know, put this thing in my butt and like, you know, bring out this new toy and like this outfit. And like, you know, let's like act this out, or like, you know, all the things. So there's a lot going on as is.
But I mean, we are in this deep bubble together, and we've been here for over a year together, and I love it in this bubble with you. And I'm not, to live and work and have sex and come on your face and fuck and role play and go on really insanely romantic, you know, dates that feel like we're in the 1920s together and whatever. To me, like, I'm good where I'm at. And again, like, that doesn't mean that one night we might not be like, you know what, let's have an adventure, fuck it. And then it doesn't mean that we haven't talked about, yeah, down the line, sure, I could see that regularly, us having threesomes in on a regular thing in the future, sure. Like, but I'm where I'm at now with you, it's just, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that I really love being in that place. And it's weird because I've been in that place. I've come from somewhere, you know, where I was just sort of on my own and whatever. And now I'm in this place and it's like, man, this is crazy that more people don't get to feel what this feels like, you know? And so, but hey, they have you to turn to for your services and maybe you can help get them into their own little bubble. One last question.
Horny love bubble.
Horny love bubble. Yes. Pocket dimension, cum shot, bubble town, whatever. One last thing we get asked a lot, I want to make sure we got to it, is do we have an OnlyFans together? Again, this one is a no. This one is a no, right? That might be a clip. This one is a no, but we have talked about it very recently. And again, we're open to it at some point.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've already done like the, well, we as in me, like, have already like sold some socks and feet pics. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? You want to talk about your footwork? Your footwork. Yeah. I like that. Fancy footwork.
I know. I just thought of like a foot job and I like did that with my hands.
Gianna has not given me a foot job. Her feet are beautiful. Feet aren't really my thing. I wouldn't say
apparently
no.
They are.
I wouldn't say no to you. Have beautiful feet. I wouldn't say no to a foot job, but I'm just not a foot guy. So
I mean, I feel like my foot has definitely like grazed your cock before, but
oh yeah, your foot has definitely been in my mouth. I've definitely sucked your toes.
Oh my god, that was so hot. Like the time that you did that, like you were like on top of me and like my foot was up and you were like, and then you just like were like, you had this just like creepy but like hot horny intensity and you just like stuck my toes in your mouth and you were like, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it was a good time. I think the only thing missing would have been like some champagne down the foot, down the leg, you know. We'll get there. We got to celebrate 100 episodes when this comes out. Maybe we'll do it that night. But no, so we don't have an OnlyFans, but we're open to it. We've talked about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Gianna has sold some items to some people, and so there's that.
Yeah, you know, it's really, and it was all by accident. Like, this was, you know, a couple of years ago, I had a man, and he did it, like, very respectfully in my DMs, asking if he could purchase my socks. And because I was, like, so naive, and I, like, uploaded, like, a feet pic onto my Instagram stories because I, like, went to this wedding, I remember, and I had these, like, really cute, like, sparkly high heels on. And, like, apparently I have, like, really beautiful, like, petite feet is what these men tell me anyways. And so, like, basically, so, like, I, like, put, like, a picture of my feet in these shoes, like, on my stories, and I was, like, oh, my God, like, these shoes make me feel like a pussycat doll. I said, like, something like that. And then this man who I knew online, and, like, have, like, a, you know, we had, like, somewhat of a, like, an acquaintanceship, you know, like, just always positive experiences there. And, like, he messaged me very respectfully and was like, hey, like, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but, like, something that, like, I'm into, like, da da da. And he just, like, did it in this very, like, respectful way where he asked if he could, like, buy socks for me. And at the time, I, like, really thought about it, and I was like, And then at the time, I declined. I was like, you know, no, like, that's cool, and, like, you know, but I don't really know how, like, what I get out of it other than money, and, like, I feel like I don't really need the money, and so I was just like, this, it's a no for me right now. And then once I, like, kind of just started being, like, a little bit more sexually outrageous online, he, like, circled back around and was, like, the same guy, like, a couple of years later. And he was, like, you know, hey, like, me again, you know, kind of thing. And he was, like, you know, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to offend you, don't want to make you uncomfortable, like, if, you know.
I see you're dating the sex party guy now.
Like, you're posting, like, a lot more, like, sex positive things these days and seem a lot more, like, expressed in your sexuality and, like, a lot more, like, in alignment with some of these things. So, like, is this something that you would be open to now? And basically, if it's no from here, like, totally respect it and I will fuck off for the rest of my life, basically. And I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, I'm in. And so I was like, literally, I'm going to be wearing socks anyways. And what, like, what is the harm? And, you know, like, he's, like, really clearly into my feet. So, like, we're going to bump up the price a little bit. I mean, I had no idea what the average cost was anyways, but, like, you know, and
you made some good money, I would say. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was definitely above, like, from what I've learned above average for sure. But, you know, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna wear the socks anyways. And something about it just kind of, like, felt kind of fun where it's like, it was like a little bit of, like, a power thing, that I just, like, kind of got to, like, experiment with a little bit and kind of got to feel where, like, and also, like, men are kind of being, like, drooly with me anyways, like, in my DMs, or, like, you know, if I accidentally post something of my feet in it, like, men are DMing me about my feet anyway. So, like, might as well get some free pedicures out of it. And, like, you know, like, throw my Venmo in there and be like,
yeah,
don't be in my DMs acting like a fucking foot skin bitch unless you're going to buy me a pedicure.
So will we see a Giada Rackham feet finder account at any time in the future?
You know, I don't know. I literally, like, officially started an account, but, like, it's, as you've seen, like, it's been interesting. I've literally had men just, like, seek me out, you know, like, I literally posted, like, my feet on my stories on accident again, like, 2 months ago, like, on my walking treadmill. Like, I was, like, on my walking treadmill and, like, had matcha in my hand. And I was, like, just taking a little, like, aesthetic picture, like, walking on my treadmill, drinking my matcha. And then, like, boom, some guy's in my DMs. And, like, he's literally bought my last two pedicures for me because he likes my feet, you know?
So stay tuned.
Yeah. But here we are.
Gianna Rackham, I love you so much. You make my life better. You're incredibly, incredibly talented. You're incredibly smart. You're such a fucking fox. You're so sexy. I love when you leave your underwear in my studio. But for them, right? Let's remind these beautiful party going people at 100 episodes. And thank you so much for celebrating 100 episodes with me. But let's remind them where they can find you and where they can work with you.
Well, you can go to my website, GiannaLightworker.com. You can also find me on Instagram and TikTok at Gianna11Light. And I'm on Facebook, Gianna Rackham. And honestly, even though I'm your girlfriend and you love me and I love you too, I'm really, really honored to be a part of your 100th episode. And you should be really proud of yourself, because what a big fucking accomplishment that many people do not do. So thank you for having me. I love you.
Of course. I love you too. And we will see each other in the kitchen very, very soon. I want to say a huge, huge thank you to all three of my big guests here in episode 100, Susan Bratton, Sarah Javons, and of course, Gianna Rackham. But I also want to say an even bigger thank you to all of you for listening and loving, for all of you who listen and hate me and the show. If you've watched and loved, amazing. If you've watched and hated, I appreciate you. So I've got this warm bottle of cheap champagne. Cheers to all of you for 100 episodes of Sex Party with Dustin Ripka. I look forward to creating 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 more episodes of this podcast for all of you. I will see you all next in the big 2023 holiday special that's coming right up behind this episode. And then we return to our normal time slot every single Wednesday, a brand new episode. If you're loving Sex Party and you want to see another 100 episodes and you're listening to this on platforms like Apple and Spotify, you want to show some love, some desire for more, but just some appreciation, what can you do? Well, you can subscribe to the show. That is the most important. After 100 episodes, I hope you realize that you should be subscribed. You could also leave a rating. You could also leave a review. You don't have to, whatever. If you're watching on YouTube, oh my fucking God, we made it. 100 episodes. If you're watching on YouTube, I love you. I see you. You know what? Champagne cheers to you guys. If you're watching on YouTube, you could subscribe there too. I mean, it's only the most important thing you could do. You could also like this video. You could like all the videos. You can leave comments. As always, I'm available in the DMs on Instagram. And I will see you guys all right back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.